In 2020, the U.S. government confirmed the existence of unidentified aerial phenomenon, and I published two books discussing the theory that aliens are spiritual entities based upon hundreds of years of occult and religious claims. In 2024, we received two major testimonies that support this idea. One is a young man in Las Vegas who witnessed a giant demon with subsequent demonic activity in his home. The other was Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan having a conversation about all the implications involved here. Join along as I'll play the audio of statements including the Las Vegas fallen angel that is causing poltergeist activity in this man's home, like a floating inverted cross with Christ ripped from it, as well as Tucker Carlson's discussion of a secret U.S. government called Kona Blue, a UFO project to investigate the deaths and injuries of servicemen who got too close to the phenomenon. My name is Isaac Weishaupt. I've been researching this exact subject full-time since 2011, and I've written 9 books on how the occult world is being revealed to the masses through aliens, movies, and music, and you're listening to the Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture Podcast. What do you think about that intro, huh? Trying to get their attention. You got to grab people. So, anyway, all right. You already know what we're going to talk about, so I don't need to reiterate that. Yeah, it's really interesting because I've been talking about this subject for years now, and, you know, the masses are slowly starting to wake up to this idea. In fact, the Kona Blue program that Tucker Carlson revealed about people in the military getting injured or even killed by these things, we talked about that, I believe, in my first Alien book, Use Your Illusion 1. Of course, I didn't know it was called Kona Blue, but Lou Elizondo was talking about this exact thing, right? So all these things that I've been talking about in these books, and I'm not the prophet here. I'm just saying I observe a lot of these things, I read a lot of stuff, and I piece it all together in my worldview, which is a little bit more spiritual lately than it was before. And it seems like we are slowly going down this path of, I gotta say it, the Luciferian New World Order. You know me. I'm not very much of a Christian warrior. In fact, I'm gonna play devil's advocate by the end of this episode, where I'm concerned now that certain people are trying to twist this thing into their Christian narrative. So, I don't know. Controversial show today. First, the young man in Las Vegas. This is referring to a major, what would you call it? Is it a CE4 event? I don't even remember the CE events. But in Las Vegas last year, in 2023, let me read you from the news. They sum it up better than I could. From 2023, a Las Vegas family called 911 in late April after an object fell from the sky into their backyard containing what they claimed were two large aliens with shiny eyes. A Las Vegas police officer arrived at the house on April 30th to interview the family. They claimed to see a big creature that was long, 10 feet tall, according to body camera footage released by the Las Vegas police on Friday. The man also added that they were 100% not human. The call was one of several made that night in Nevada, California, and Utah, claiming to have seen a flash in the sky, one of which was caught on the body camera footage. And after we saw that body camera footage from the police, because they eventually released it, I think it was a couple months later, you can see this streaking object flying through the sky, and it was 30 minutes before the 911 call came through. It's pretty eerie, and we're talking about the Kenmore family, and we're going to hear from Angel Kenmore later on here. This is interesting, right, because we know that the Nephilim, who are the offspring of the fallen angels, the Watchers in the Book of Enoch, they were giants as well. That's how they were described. So here, we also remember I linked up with the great Tony Merkel from the Confessionals, and we did a mega show about the Miami Mall aliens, which were also described as giant aliens. I mean, I don't know. It's getting sketchy. You know what I mean? Things are getting sketchy. I don't like it one bit. Now, let me talk to you about how this all transpired, because I was honored to be back on Coast to Coast AM for my second appearance with Richard Syrett. That guy's got the greatest radio voice ever. And when we were, you know, and on Coast to Coast, you know, they let me talk for a bit and then we go to break and then they come back and then Richard Syrett runs up some news relevant to, you know, the Coast to Coast audience. And one of the news segments, he talked about this interview with the Kenmore family. I didn't even catch this. It's not trending around on social media or, well, you know what? I've been taking a break from social media, so maybe it is. But I sure didn't catch wind of this until I heard Richard Syrett talk about it. And I typed it in on my browser because I was like, I'm going to look into that after we're done recording here today. And I couldn't believe what I heard. I'm going to play for you clips today. It's pretty wild. Now, and you can, and if you're interested in the Coast to Coast interview, you can listen to it on the, if you have the app, the Coast to Coast app, and you have to subscribe to Coast to Coast Insider. I don't know what the cost is. Probably less than a cup of coffee in Austin, Texas a month, I'm guessing. Because I used to have it. It wasn't that expensive at all. But anyway, that's where you can find the interview if you missed it. Now, let's just go over to News Nation because they've been covering this. News Nation become the source for all the UFO activity, and I think that's weird. I don't, you know, my spidey senses are just constantly going off with all this. I'm like, why is this new network the one, the voice behind it? Are they funded by someone? You know, there's all this manipulation, right? In fact, I'm reading this book by an Orthodox monk because, you know, your boy. I'm going to get the name for it here because it's actually pretty interesting. I saw Nick Hinton post it because he's going real deep on Orthodoxy right now. It's called The UFO Deception, all right? It was written in 2021 by Father Spiridone Bailey. I'm going to butcher it. It has a lot of good ratings. And so far, it's really good. I'm maybe a third of the way in. And, you know, one of my favorite books of all time is Father Seraphim Rose's Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future, because my man wrote this in the 60s. And boy, it's on the money as to it's a script. It's like reading a script of what's going on. If you subscribe to that worldview, I got to put that caveat out there. And the UFO Deception book that I'm reading, he lays it out in this, it's like drinking from a fire hose, this one chapter where he's going through the history of the American government constantly gaslighting the American public. They'll say, hey, there's no such thing as UFOs. And then a year later, they're like, hey, there's these weird reports of UFOs. We should investigate it. And then they investigate it. And then they're like, it turns out it was nothing. And it's just the same pattern over and over and over. And that's kind of where we're at now is in 2017, the New York Times releases confirms those videos that Jeremy Corbell released were real. Then in 2020, the Pentagon confirms it and says, yeah, we've been researching these things. And before this episode is said and done, we're going to have some thoughts about why this is happening. Okay. Now I'm going to play a clip for you from News Nation from April 25th, where we revisit this alien, this Las Vegas alien, right? And we're going to hear from a guy named Angel Kenmore. He is one of the men that live in this home where this incident happened, okay? Now, I'm going to play this clip. It's about 6 minutes, and I'm going to hit you on the other side. Let's go.
Not only did what happened in Vegas not stay in Vegas, it circled the known universe. The frenzy grew when reports surfaced that unknown authorities had afterwards placed cameras around this family's home. The family was driven into hiding, off the grid, out of sight, underground. But 10 months later, the mystery lives on, and looky-loos and alien hunters are still on the prowl. The family posted no trespassing signs, but break-ins have been reported frequently here as recently as last week at this home. Tonight, a News Nation exclusive, the teenager who made that 911 call is finally speaking publicly at length and laying out exactly what he saw that night and what has happened since. Our national correspondent, Alex Capriello, joins me with that live from Las Vegas tonight. So, Alex, it's really compelling with the advent of a year passing almost, that they've had a chance to digest what it is they've been through. They have kept quiet. They are not looking for attention. And yet now you're getting information, especially from this 15-year-old or the 17-year-old, that's pretty alarming.
Yeah, and I've found out from speaking to Angel Kenmore that life just really has not been all that easy for the past year since they saw that 10-foot-tall creature in their backyard right here behind me. For him, he says that he's plain and simple traumatized by it all. He says he can't sleep at night. He's become slightly paranoid. He cries at night trying to make sense, heads or tails, of what exactly he saw that night, playing it back over and over in his head. You can imagine the torment that's going through in his head. But to this day, none of the family has a very good explanation about what exactly they saw that night. But to their credit, they've stayed pretty consistent about the facts and the details. I really grilled him about that, trying to get him to remember as much as he possibly could about that night. Here's a portion of our conversation. What do you remember about that night? What do you remember seeing?
We were in the backyard fixing a truck, and then out of nowhere we just see a big light fall down and basically crash in the backyard. And moments after, a couple of seconds after, I saw the big giant creature in front of me. The alien, whatever you guys want to call it. The alien, demon, whatever you guys want to call it.
What do you believe it is?
A demon.
A demon?
Yeah.
So maybe that's changed, that once you thought it was an alien, now you believe it was a demon.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is, you know, only God knows what it was. But I'm thinking it's like something bad, you know, not a good thing.
Was it moving? Was it doing?
Yes, it was moving. You could see, like, he was breathing, like he was, like pissed off. Like he wanted to do something.
And he was looking at you and
yeah,
your brother?
Yeah, he was looking at me, yeah.
Did he say anything?
Mm-mm. I remember he was growling, like a dog, like, argh, like he was growling.
When did it end?
As soon as I closed my eyes, I guess. I don't know, I think I was praying or something like that, and they just let me go. That's when I went inside, and, you know, I saw my dad, and I saw it too.
It had a control of your body?
Oh, yeah, I couldn't move. I couldn't move, yeah.
You were paralyzed at the sight of this thing.
Yeah, I couldn't move.
And you were looking at it for 30 or so seconds, and then all of a sudden it was gone.
Yeah. That was pretty creepy.
A lot of people think that that's just hard to believe.
They can think whatever they want.
What do you say to the people who believe that your family just made this whole thing up to try to get attention?
They can believe whatever they want, you know. I'm not doing it for fame. If I did it for fame, I would be on YouTube and stuff like that, doing more videos, but I don't care, guys. I just went on TikTok and YouTube, made my story. That's pretty much it. I made no money off this. I want people to know that. I made no money off this. I don't need money. That's pretty much it. They can believe whatever they want.
I bet you hope it doesn't happen to anybody.
Oh, no. Hopefully not, no. I hope God, no. Really bad experience. Really traumatizing.
And Ashley, I don't know what your impression of him was, but when I was speaking to him personally, I was really struck by how confident and authentic he was about his memories of that night. There's a lot of people obviously out there in the world that would make up ghost stories in order to chase any sort of clout or fame. But to me, Angel came across as somebody who truly believed that he saw something that night in that backyard right here behind me.
Yeah, Alex, he didn't really seem to have canned answers either. So if this was all a big ruse, he's either a really, really good actor. I mean, Meryl Streep quality. And, you know, he certainly didn't script it, didn't seem to plan out answers, at the grasp. I do want to ask you about the family. You know, this is the 17-year-old finally talking at length about his experience. And did he ever add some details there that what he saw seemed to be angry and breathing heavily with growling, looking right at his brother and him, and that he felt frozen, which is an account we've heard from other people who have felt that they've seen something out of this world before, that they've been frozen and unable to move. What about the family? Does the family back him?
Yeah, the family does, although they're much less willing to go public about it. I spoke to his mom, who basically said that she has no interest in speaking about it because she just feels differently than Angel. She feels like nobody in the world is going to believe her. Angel, on the other hand, while certainly not trying to publish his case widespread, he feels the need to share it because he wants the world to know what he saw, and also he wants the world to know that his family is doing okay and moving forward. In general, the family wants the spotlight off of them. For example, all these no trespassing signs, there's at least four of them. But at this time, they are just basically saying, look, We don't really want to talk about it anymore, but we still stand behind the things that we saw that night.
I love how it starts out with a little pun on the Vegas thing. You know, this one didn't stay in Vegas. And then they refer to the visitors coming to check out the home looky-loos. Like, who's writing the scripts over there at News Nation? Anyway, the teen, I think he's like 17, Angel Kenmore. He's interviewed by the News Nation reporter Alex Capriarello. And I tried to briefly look up Angel Kenmore for social media. I sure couldn't find anything. So that's consistent with his story about how he's not using this to get followers, get clout, go on UFO speaking tours, make money, write books. He's not doing none of that. None of that, which is adds really, it seriously adds cred to the story, especially because he's, you know, a teenager, right? Like, I would think they would be all about that action. And no shade, right? I would do it. I'm just going to tell you right now. I'd be using it. And not in a crappy way, but in a way of like, no, this really happened, and I'm going to tell you about it. And if I can get some followers in the process, why not? But they say that this giant alien in the backyard gave them PTSD, basically. This guy's traumatized. He can't sleep. He finds himself crying. That's PTSD. And the family has been consistent on what happened and what they saw since last year. And he literally says it's an alien or a demon. And Alex asks him what he thinks. An angel says it's a demon. Now, the curiosity here, like, let's talk about synchromysticism. The odds of a man named Angel, which is a, you know, what was that? Like a very popular Hispanic name. There's lots of Puerto Ricans in when I grew up in PA named Angel. It's one of them. It's like the most common name, right? But the interesting aspect here is we have angel and demon. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of odd. But Angel says, no, that thing's a demon. He said it was pissed. It was growling, breathing real hard. Maybe some bad breath. I don't know. And what's interesting is he said it all ended when he closed his eyes and started praying. Okay. And it paralyzed him in his place as well. And, you know, this guy seems about as believable as a witness as one could ask. In fact, you hear the other host, I think her name was Ashley, says that if this guy's an actor, he's on some Meryl Streep stuff, right? Like, he's really good. So, clearly he's not acting, right? And this family is, like we said earlier, they're not trying to grift this thing. They don't want anyone bugging them. They got no trespassing signs up. They got guns. They want the public to leave them alone. And every day they get people snooping around and even jumping their fences to their backyard to try to get a look at these aliens that have been gone for a year. That's insane. Now, here's the clip that I think adds a new level of intrigue to it, okay? We're going to hear about how inside the home, they've been getting this poltergeist / demonic activity. And this all plays into the part where Angel says, no, this thing is a demon. So take a listen to this clip.
So what's interesting also, Alex, in the year, almost the year that has passed, is that something else has begun to happen, they say, now inside the home. And they're very afraid of what they have been, what they say that they have been witnessing inside their home. Can you describe what it is they're telling you?
Yeah, and I think that's the reason why Angel has pivoted from calling what he saw that night an alien instead, now calling it a demon, because he feels like he's seeing so much paranormal activity and just strange, unexplainable things happening inside of his home. There was two anecdotes, one in particular that we're about to show you that literally made the hairs on my arm stand up just because it is so freaky, so unexplainable. We have a segment of that part of the conversation.
You mentioned paranormal activity. What exactly did you see?
Well, I was in the other room. My brother called me. There was a upside down cross, and there was a Jesus statue in it. They ripped Jesus out of it. They threw him like across the room, and it was floating upside down.
Are you saying floating in the air?
Yeah, like in the air. It was floating upside down.
What did you do? I mean, did you go pick it up? Did you knock it down? Like, how?
No, I didn't do nothing. I was just sitting there. I was crazy. I was like, what?
But how did it come down? It's not still floating right now, is it?
No, no, it came down. So we got closer to it and then just dropped.
It fell to the ground. A crucifix,
yeah,
floating in the air, upside down. The Jesus on the crucifix had been ripped off,
yeah,
and it was floating.
Yeah.
And you can say definitively, without lies, that that is what you saw.
Yes, yes. Swear to God, that's what I saw.
What do you believe that is? How could something like that happen? That's not physically possible in this world. And that's just one story of many stories of paranormal activity that's happened inside this house, according to Angel. He said that the family has had to take some really drastic measures to make themselves feel safe within their home. We're going to talk more about all of that paranormal activity tomorrow night on Banfield.
And one last question about just what their house, you know, has become, because, you know, typically people are rabid about stuff like this, and people will come from all corners of not just the country, but the earth to visit places like this. Have they been inundated with tourists and looky-loos and people who are not maybe as kind as they should be when they arrive on the property?
Yeah, you bet. I mean, as you mentioned, this story sparked global attention. So everybody started coming to this house to get a peek at the backyard, hoping to catch a sight of a UFO or an alien or a demon, whatever it was back there. And so that's the reason why you see so many no trespassing signs. If you just look in the distance, you see one on the window. There's one on the garage. On their front door, there's a no trespassing sign. Also a concealed carry sign that says that, you know, we will protect our property. So in the end, this is a lot of attention, and so much so that they're seeing around four or five cars almost each and every day, people stopping by, people even jumping over the fence, breaking into their home, trying to do whatever they can to catch a glimpse.
So distressing. Alex Capriello, thank you. I know we've got more reporting ahead, so I appreciate the time that you've taken out there all this time after the instance itself. Thank you. And, you know, we all know that anything can be faked in this day and age, right? Just like anything. But so too can it be investigated and dissected and analyzed and picked apart using state-of-the-art technology. So we enlisted an internationally renowned expert in evidence and crime scene reconstruction to examine that Las Vegas video. And we thought surely he would have some answers. And he did. They just weren't the answers that we were expecting.
Yeah, Angel says there's a floating inverted, like a levitating inverted crucifix where Christ was taken off of the crucifix and thrown across the room. I mean, I don't know if it gets much more evil than that, right? And at the end of the clip there, you hear that they had an expert take a look at the video footage, the original footage that you can find online, where you can't really see much. But the expert claims that there is, in fact, something behind the fence there, because there's slots in the fence where you can see some motion. And the expert says that that's consistent with the motion of a leg. And the alien is apparently behind that fence, which is interesting because I remember back in the when this first released, one of the videos going around on TikTok was a person freeze framing and looking through that fence and saying, like, look at it. There's the alien right there. And at the time, I thought, we don't know. I can't really tell. It's fuzzy, you know? So apparently, the expert says that was, in fact, the alien, which is super creepy. Now, there was a, you know, and it's a little confusing, this video, because there's multiple video interview clips. They're kind of all over the place. And I don't know why I couldn't just get one big interview clip. Don't ask me. So I want to play another clip, and this is, again, Alex reporting, and they elaborate a little bit more on some other paranormal activity happening in the house. Take a listen to this one.
Alex, good to see you. I have to ask you, what are you making? Because there's something really interesting about this, and it's that last night it was reported there was more strange activity in and around the home. What is going on here?
Right. The story goes that just about a year ago, the Kenmore family saw these mysterious, unidentifiable creatures in their backyard right here behind me, right? They said that they were 10-foot-tall creatures, that they were standing there looking at them. They could see them breathing. Angel says that he was actually growling at him, freaking them out so much that they actually called 911. Well, it turns out that these unidentified, unexplainable phenomenon didn't just stop at that night. Angel went into great detail with me during our one-on-one conversation about other paranormal activity that's been happening, but this time inside of their house. It goes beyond just seeing shadows and hearing whispers. These are really freaky things that he told me during our exclusive conversation. Take a listen.
You mentioned paranormal activity. What exactly did you see?
Well, I was in another room. My brother called me. There was a upside down cross, and there was a Jesus statue in it. They ripped Jesus out of it. They threw him like across the room, and it was floating upside down.
Are you saying floating in the air?
Yeah, like in the air. It was floating upside down.
What did you do? I mean, did you go pick it up? Did you knock it down? Like,
how? No, I didn't do nothing. I was just sitting there. I was crazy. I was like, what?
But how did it come down? It's not still floating right now, is it?
No, it came down. So we got closer to it and then dropped.
It fell to the ground. A crucifix.
Yeah.
Floating in the air, upside down. The Jesus on the crucifix had been ripped off.
Yeah.
And it was floating.
Yep.
And you can say definitively, without lies, that that is what you saw.
Yes. Swear to God, that's what I saw.
Okay, and what about the Bible? What did you tell me about
the Bible? Oh yeah, the Bible. So I was chilling normal. There was just a Bible just going like this, flipping the pages. But it was like steady, like it wasn't because of the air. It was steady, like somebody was holding it. As soon as I got close to it, it dropped again.
This is inside your house, not outdoors.
No wind. It's inside, yeah.
No wind factor, but the page is steadily turning on a Bible.
Yeah.
And you have the same justification for that as well, demonic presence?
Yeah, I can see demonic presence, yeah.
The pages of the Bible were moving on their own and an actual crucifix hanging upside down?
Yeah. So, you know, we had a couple of priests come over to the house, pray over the house, and everything seems to be normal. Again.
Are you connecting all these things together, everything you saw in your backyard, to the things you've experienced over these past few months?
Yeah, to be honest, yeah, I think so. I still have an explanation of what it is, you know, still pretty weird, and I have no clue what it is.
What did the priest say when they actually came to your house?
They're saying that it might be fallen angels, like demons or fallen angels, something like that.
Fallen angels inside your home.
Yeah, that was pretty creepy.
How does it make you feel about living here still?
Right now I feel good, you know. There's a lot of time priests came over. Whatever happened on last year, May, that was pretty scary, man. I was pretty traumatized and stuff like that.
What does that look like to you? You said you're traumatized. I don't want to make you relive it.
Yeah.
What is that like?
It's pretty bad, man. You can't sleep, you know. Not to sound like a crybaby, but, you know, you cry most of the time when you think about it, you get flashbacks, you know, not a good experience.
With all the paranormal activity happening inside your house, are you thinking about moving away?
Oh yeah, soon I'm gonna move away from this house, yeah.
Everybody or just you?
Everybody, I think.
You guys are done with this place?
Yeah.
What do you say to the people who believe that your family just made this whole thing up to try to get attention?
They could believe whatever they want, you know. I'm not doing it for fame. If I did it for fame, I would be on YouTube and stuff like that, doing more videos, but I don't care, guys. I just went on TikTok and YouTube, made my story.
And while we certainly have Angel's story to go off of, other people here in this neighborhood have also filled in some of the gaps and some of the things that they found freaky about that night that those two unidentified beings were seen by the Kenmore family in their backyard. For example, a guy who lives just right down the street just saw us out here on the side of the road and began talking to us, and he remembered that night as well. He said that for some bizarre reason, his TV all of a sudden stopped working at that time, that his surveillance cameras no longer were working, his lights were shutting off. So put all of this together, the Kenmore sighting, what the neighbors are reporting, not to mention what those Las Vegas police officers saw on those body-worn cameras, that flash of light streak across the sky 39 minutes before that 911 call. It really is an unexplainable phenomenon happening here in Las Vegas.
So in this one, he's saying that a Bible had these pages mysteriously flipping, right? You already heard how he described it. And he said a priest came over and things have gotten more normal again. And the priest told him that this is this could be fallen angels. Those could have been demons. And now the family is planning on moving away from that home. And the neighbors even had some weird electrical issues with their TVs and surveillance cameras and all kinds of stuff. Now, if you're following along on the Twin Peaks Gray Lodge, which if you're still hanging in there, God bless you. I've had a lot of people dropping off, and that's okay, because you know what? I'm going to continue pressing on, and one day, because you're going down the same road I took. My first stage of Twin Peaks was denial. I couldn't get through the first episode for years. And then one time it finally hit me, and I thought, I'm going to work through this thing. And I did. And when you get to that point, you're going to have to come back to the Gray Lodge, and then you're going to say, okay, now I get it. Let's go. Because there's so much occult symbolism in that bad boy. But anyways, there is a theme in Fire Walk With Me, and throughout all of Twin Peaks, I should say, of electricity being how the spirits move around. And you find that in Poltergeist Activity and such as well. It's one of the four forces of nature, which we're going to talk about that here soon, actually. So there you go. That was the Angel Kenmore's latest confirming that they think they're demonic. And look, you know me. I think that spirits or aliens could be angels or demons. I think they're interdimensional, and I think there could be either one, and this one is apparently demonic. Okay. Now, moving on to more worldly alien talk. Tucker Carlson was on Joe Rogan. I'm sure you've heard of this. I'm going to play a massive clip for you here in a minute. And I haven't finished the whole episode, just so you know. And I'm going to play a long clip, though. So he was on there, and it starts off hard in the paint. With Tucker not speaking into the microphone. He's like way over here talking. I'm like, bro, do you do this for a living or not really? It's pretty wild. Oh, boy. But they're going to go through a sequence of topics, okay? They're going to talk about U.S. government programs to investigate UFOs that are causing harm to service people. They postulate on if they are spiritual beings or not. Tucker makes some supernatural claims about USOs, you know, the UAP underwater and all that stuff. And they're going to talk about it. They're going to start off with the Cone of Blue, the government program, okay? Now, I'm going to play this clip, and I'm going to sort of walk through it afterwards, but it's a really long clip. It's almost 17 minutes. 16 minutes and 53 seconds is this clip. If you don't want to listen to it, just fast forward that amount of time. 16 minutes and 53 seconds starting now.
Apparently by accident. Project Aqua stuff? Did you see this?
No. What's that?
This is crazy.
Yeah, I guess we're rolling.
Are we rolling?
Yeah.
No. You can. This is just someone just sent me this. This is
Project Aqua?
Yeah, hold on. They just released, I think, by accident.
How does that happen?
It's Kona Blue. You familiar with this?
No.
Kona Blue is a, it was a program that, yeah, dude, I'm going to send this to, Homeland Security just released this.
Send it to me, I'll send it to Jamie.
And, no, I got it right here. I'll just, I don't do email or whatever. I don't know how to airdrop anything.
You don't do email?
No. I haven't done email in many years.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you exist?
I do text.
Wow. Just text?
Yeah, I don't do email. I don't go on the fucking internet. I don't have a TV. I'm not into that. But anyway. Wow. No, that stuff's bad, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
That's my isolation tank. I just stay away from that shit. But anyway.
That's smart. Did you text it to me?
Yeah, I did. I think I did.
It didn't get to me.
Yeah, I just sent it. It's a big thing. Okay, so. This is so amazing. So this is in there. They're talking about this, and this was just released, talking about setting up this program, Kona Blue.
I didn't get it.
This is like a UAP program of some
sort?
Yeah,
the medical division will have a small team of medical analysts under the direction of the chief physician and deputy administrator. They will organize data into a threat analysis based on medical findings, including but not limited to A, deaths and injuries as a result of interaction with advanced aerospace vehicles.
Here it is.
B, medical injuries as a result of other anomalies. C, collateral injuries, psychological effects to family members. So they're admitting that people are dying.
It's just like a tweet from ESL.
Is this it?
A day or two
yeah.
ago?
What does that mean?
Other information. No one
here. Do you ever wonder if stuff like this is just disinformation?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I wonder if... I wonder a lot of things.
I'm sure you do.
But
I would always assume that a lot of this stuff is nonsense.
Yeah, here's what we know is that US servicemen have died as a result of contact with or being in the proximity of these vehicles, and we know that cuz there are a lot of suits working their way through the VA system.
Yeah.
Where families, you know, can't get compensated for the deaths or injuries to loved ones.
Because it's all under wraps, top secret.
Well, that's just a fact, okay, that is happening. So if there's, I guess, you know, when there are measurable physical effects of a phenomenon, we can say conclusively the phenomenon is real.
Right.
And so, yeah.
But
I
isn't
mean,
it?
It is real. I mean, I guess we're sort of past the point of like, is it real? Yeah, it's real.
It's real in that there's these things that are moving in very bizarre ways, and they have these propulsion systems that violate what we know about propulsion systems. Retrieving data across dimensional space-time, develop remote viewing comms and countermeasures, determine baseline for physical transport across dimensional space-time barrier, rapid response medical teams for UFO interaction events. So how did they do this accidentally? Study conscious interactions with and control of technology.
So I got this from someone in the U.S. government who's look, let me just start by saying I don't know anything. But he sent me this. The above is 100% legit. I was read into this program but told never to tell anyone. It's now been released. As you can see, it began as a result of my old program, AATIP. I signed a document saying I would never talk about Kona Blue and similar efforts. I can't believe that AARO would have released it. Look, I mean, here's what we do know is that there's enough going on in the skies, but not just the skies, underwater, that the U.S. military has been forced to respond to it. So, like, move aircraft from one place to another because there are too many of these objects in the sky. That's actually happened. Chris Mellon just wrote a long piece about it. So it's real. The government is not controlling it. In fact, it's forcing the government, DOD, to respond. And we know that there is a real effort and has been underway for a long time to keep the public from knowing about it. But that's all known. That's established. I don't think any rational person would deny that. The question is, like, what is it actually? I mean, now is sort of the point you have to ask, like, what is this? And, you know, so that's
how much of it do you think is ours?
Well, none of it's ours.
None of it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, clearly, you know, the U.S. government is huge. It's the largest human organization. There are, I think there are 2 million federal employees and another 10 million federal contractors, so who are effectively government employees but don't have civil service protection, for example. So that's 12 million people in a country of 340 million working for the federal government. So it's kind of hard to overstate how big the federal government is and how well-funded. And so to say the government this, the government that, no, of course, it's people within the government. But yeah, they're working on all kinds of things, obviously, that are classified. But in general, no, they can't control these objects. So no, it's not American technology.
Well,
or Russian or Chinese. It predates, you know, all of that.
Well, some of it does, right? Like, for sure, the Kenneth Arnold sightings, that was really early on. That was like the early 1950s. He was seeing these flying saucers, these discs that were moving over mountains.
Well, right. I mean, the prophet Ezekiel writes about it right in the first chapter, Wheels in the Sky.
Yeah, know, that's a crazy one. Boy, when you
well,
read
it
that,
is crazy. If you yeah. if you read it, it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and not just, you know, the Hebrew scriptures, like it's all over every...
Mm-hmm. The Vedic texts.
Of course. Mm-hmm. So these are spiritual phenomena. There's no evidence they're from another planet. I mean, I think that's the op, that's the lie, that they're from Mars. Look, space, the atmosphere is really well monitored, right? Both for military, for defense reasons, but also because like it'd be nice to know when asteroids are coming. And there's no evidence, has never been any evidence that there are lots of these objects, these vehicles coming into our atmosphere from somewhere else, some other planet. There's no evidence of that at all.
Hmm.
So they're from here and they've been here for thousands of years, whatever they are. And it's pretty clear to me that they're spiritual entities, whatever that means. They're supernatural, and which is to say supernatural means above the natural, above the observable nature. And... they don't behave according to the laws of science as measured by people, you know, and they've been here for a long time. And there's a ton of evidence they're under the ocean and under the ground. So like with that fact set, what do you conclude?
When did you start having this opinion that they were spiritual and that they've always been here? Like when did this...
Well, I didn't know anything about the topic until 2017. And
was that after the New York Times piece?
No, it was before. It was before. And the things that I saw, I mean, I was and am still a very conventional person. I mean, I'm 54. I grew up in this country in California, which was like every assumption about America I bought completely, just completely. And I thought that everyone who questioned those assumptions was bad. I just bought into the system completely without even thinking about it. And I imagined that I was like some kind of free thinker and, you know, I'm going against the grain. But like my core assumptions were the assumptions fed to me by the culture and the government. And I didn't even realize it. But anyway, I'd never really thought about UFOs at all. And I'd been in journalism since I was a kid. So, of course, I'd run into a lot of people who had crazy views on a lot of different topics. UFOs, 9/11, circumcision, you know, like every whack job in the world you run into when you're covering stuff.
Fluoride.
Fluoride, right? I just brushed with non-fluoride toothpaste this morning.
Yeah, me too.
exactly. Exactly. But probably unlike you, I didn't have any opinions like that. I was like, fluoride, come on. You know, 9/11, shut up.
Yeah.
UFOs, you're fucking crazy. You know what I mean? I just like I had this reflexive. I'm ashamed of it. I'm not bragging about it, but it was 2017, and really it was the Trump campaign. It wasn't that I was like so in love with Trump, though I've always liked Trump because you know he's like hilarious and charming and all that. But I wasn't like a Trumper or anything. But it was watching that campaign, and particularly his claim that they were spying on him, and I was like, really? You're not. The intel services and federal law enforcement, FBI, do not spy on presidential campaigns. Like, that's so out of the realm. That's so crazy. Like, that could never happen because, of course, there's no democracy in a system like that. And fundamentally, we're a democracy, an imperfect one. It kind of lumbers along, you know, but, like, it's not fake. And then that turned out to be true. And I knew it was true. And that just blew my mind. So I began a process still ongoing of reassessing a lot of other things. Like, okay, well, if that was not true, what else is not true? And what else that they told me was a conspiracy theory might actually have some basis in fact. And then someone from, you know, a DOD employee reached out to me and said, actually, there's a ton of evidence that this UFO thing is real. And really? And so I started doing segments on it when I worked at the TV channel. And there was like a lot of mockery, but I was like, I don't care. I'm just going to do this. And then, of course, the second you start, as you know better than anybody, you start talking about something, then people reach out to you and some of them are deranged, but some of them aren't at all. So I just started getting a lot of information from people and meeting with people, mostly in private, you know, come to my house, let's talk. And I decided on the basis of what they told me, and then I talked to a lot of people about it. That actually this is really a very heavy duty question, actually. It's not just, it's not the little green men question. It's like a much bigger question. And it's really bad. It's really dark. And then I stopped. Then I was like, I don't want to know anymore because it's not helping me at all as a person. And I don't
What information did you get that made you feel like it's dark?
Well, it's so dark. Well, first of all, the deception is always bad. Like lying is bad in it. And it's bad not just in a legal sense in that it can be illegal to lie, but it's bad. It's like bad for you. Like it rots you. Like being a liar makes you a bad person. When you lie, you are serving evil. There's a moral quality to it that's inescapable and very obvious. And only like advanced civilizations ignore that. Lying is bad. And so if you have lying at scale, which we have on this topic, it's inherently bad. Okay, so that's the first level. The deeper level is what are, okay, so if they're spiritual beings, which I believe they are, like it's a binary. They're either, you know, you're on team good or team bad. You can assign any name to it you want, but like what are these things? Are they good or bad? And I think some of them are bad. And if the U.S. government knows that, or elements, the people within the U.S. government know that, then, you know, then they're serving a bad force. And
well, when you say spiritual, like what makes you draw that conclusion that they're spiritual?
What's the obvious? I mean, spiritual may be the wrong word. Supernatural. You know, they're beyond nature as we understand it. I mean, obviously they are. I mean, just chart their physical behavior. It doesn't, you know, it goes outside of what we understand about physics. No visible means of propulsion, you know, coming at indescribable speed, hitting the ocean, continuing at speeds that are impossible undersea. I mean, in other words, if I take a, you know, 9mm round or 7.62x39 and shoot you at 50 yards underwater in a swimming pool, and it's even more intense in saltwater because it's denser, you could catch the bullet if it even makes it to you, right? So if you have a craft, any object underwater that's traveling at 500 knots as measured by sonar, right there you're challenging our understanding of physics. Like, what is that? How can that be? So yeah.
They've tracked that? They've tracked things going 500 knots under the sea?
Yeah, really. Yeah, much much faster than any object can actually go under sea. Yo, for sure. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on underwater. And a lot. And there's video of these things coming out of the sky into the water and also emerging from the water.
Right.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's all so blurry, though.
I don't think it's the transmedium
video.
Yeah, I don't think some of it's that blurry. I think some of it's crystal clear.
We just don't have access to it. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Just we haven't seen it?
Correct.
So they have some stuff.
For sure. So, but there's just a lot going on underwater and it's measured. And so whatever, I mean, these are all, again, this is like the most obvious observable level of it. But then you just ask yourself, like, what is this actually? And, you know, if there's been extensive knowledge of this for decades, like maybe 80 years at least, if not going back to the 30s, 90 years, you know, to what end? So there are two possible explanations, obvious explanations. The first is the one you often hear, which is this is so heavy that if the public were to know about it, it would be just disruptive. It'd be too scary. Like you don't want to scare people for no good reason. There's nothing we can do about it. And you also don't want to suggest that, you know, the U.S. military isn't capable of protecting the country, the homeland. And it does suggest that. If you can't control these objects in your airspace, and that's known, they can't, that's known, okay? Then that's just a limit to the power of the U.S. military, and you don't want to tell people that because then they like won't believe that they're safe. I get it. But then there's a deeper level, which is like, okay, what's your relationship with these things? What is the U.S. government's relationship with these things? And there's evidence that there is a relationship and that it's a longstanding, and that raises like a lot of questions about intent and and so, like, what is that? And I just personally decided, you know, and people have been hurt by these things. You know, that's a fact. That's a fact. It's a knowable fact. It's a provable fact. And killed. And I'm not saying millions of people have been killed by whatever these things are, but people have been killed, and it's known because it's working its way through the courts out of the VA. So, I don't know. An object that is, by definition, supernatural. It's above the laws of nature as we understand them, and that has resulted in the deaths of people, like we don't spend enough time thinking about like what that adds up to. Like, not good, actually. Not good.
All right, so let's recap what happened here. Supposedly, there was a program called Kona Blue, a government UFO program that Tucker said, somebody sent me this. Who is that, Tucker? Who's sending you stuff there, Tucker? You know, I don't. And look, I don't have beef with Tucker Carlson. Sometimes he says stuff I like, sometimes he doesn't. But I question that he's a valuable asset for people who are trying to push misinformation, disinformation, all that stuff. In fact, Joe Rogan pushes back and claims that a little bit on the interview. Joe knows the deal. Joe knows the deal more than most of these people. But we're going to come back to that. They say that it's a program from the Homeland Security, and it was this medical division that was researching deaths and injuries involved with people that were interacting with aliens and UFOs. Joe Rogan brings up the disinformation possibility. Because, like I talked about in that book from Father Spiridone, they've been doing disinformation and gaslighting and lying to us for 100 years almost. It's crazy. It's almost, I think, are we falling for this again? Why are they doing this? Well, there's some ideas on why. But Tucker says he claims that we know U.S. servicemen have died after working with UFOs. But then he also, in the next breath, says they're going through the VA system for disability. I mean, if they're dead, they're not going through the VA. I don't know what. I'm not trying to pick on Tucker Carlson. Look, I get it. When you talk publicly for a living, especially freestyle talking on podcasts, you're bound to say some stuff that don't make sense. So I forgive that. But it doesn't really make sense. He's like, oh, they're all dead and they're going through the VA for disability. I think he's implying that some people died, some people got injured, right? Kona Blue was also studying consciousness elements. I kind of think that's what they're saying. It's not very clear. Tucker's contact claims that he worked for ATIP, and he's surprised that Arrow, which is the newer program, is releasing this information on Kona Blue. Tucker confirms that we do have USOs and UFOs and you know, the military. They actually move big old battleships because of USO sightings. Tucker then says it's a spiritual phenomenon. It's a lie to say that they're from another planet. That's the misinformation. And they're referring to ancient religious texts like the Book of Ezekiel. Joe Rogan brings up the Vedic texts, very ancient aliens of them. And that's okay. That doesn't make it wrong. And Tucker believes that they're actually from here. They've been here. I think it's how Ancient Aliens starts with the narrator. They are here. They've been here for thousands of years. They're spiritual entities and they're supernatural, meaning above nature, meaning they don't follow the laws of science. And the evidence that exists that they are, in fact, underground and under the water. So Joe asks him when he started thinking that they were spiritual. Tucker said he knew nothing about aliens until 2017's New York Times revelation. I'm not sure what he means by that. I think he means he didn't believe in it, thought it was all nonsense until he's seen the videos and the New York Times proved it, I guess. And he talks about how he was assuming everything that the system told him, right? Which is to mock aliens and UFOs. And how his assumptions were all fed to him prior to 2017. So in the past, I've picked on Tucker Carlson. And I think that is a good take. I think that's a good take. I was 100% on the money prior to 2017. That he was just pushing the establishment narrative, right? Like, do we trust someone who only now is having these realizations about what's going on? I don't know. I mean, this is very subjective. I don't think we shouldn't. I think that's terrible judgment to only in 2017 realize that, hey, maybe we're being lied to about this, that, and the other. But that's okay, you know. I'm happy he's waking up. He'll just never be my red pill daddy is the thing. You know what I mean? And he only started getting information after someone in the DOD fed it to him, which, again, I don't know. Do I trust this guy's judgment? It's questionable. It's sus. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm not saying he's an idiot. I'm just saying I put an extra level of scrutiny upon Tucker Carlson and what he says. And he has this whole diatribe about how lying is bad because it rots you from the inside and all this stuff. And I thought, didn't this guy get fired from Fox for lying about something? And I looked it up. And they've, and I don't, I'm not trying to get political here, but I'm just trying to say we have to question Tucker Carlson. Again, I'm not picking on the guy. I'm not saying he's stupid. He seems like a pretty intelligent guy. And some of the stuff he says, I actually really like. But a lot of the stuff he says, I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? But if you look at that lawsuit of Fox News versus Dominion voting machines, because if you recall, in 2020, we had an election and Fox News and Donald Trump were insisting that, excuse me, President Trump, were all insisting that the election was stolen, right? And everyone's kind of dug in on their stances there. And one of the major first claims was that, well, they stole it by rigging the Dominion voting machines, and Dominion allowed that to happen on some level, right? That was the claim that Fox News was pushing. And they were rigged to steal the election for Joe Biden. President Biden, excuse me. And Dominion was like, bro, that is fake news. And they sued Fox News for $1.6 billion in damages, and they basically won. Now, even Fox News said it wasn't true. Even Fox News admitted that. Their whole defense was, hey, we were just presenting opinions. But this thing took off a life of its own and became a whole thing, right? And what's fascinating is that during the pretrial, there were all these text messages being released from various talking heads at Fox, including Tucker Carlson, writing to management and, I don't know, Rupert Murdoch or whoever at Fox News, where they were aware that Fox News was making them tell lies on their reporting. And yet they continue to do it. And the case actually settled for $787 million that Fox News had to pay Dominion as a settlement pre-trial to make sure it didn't go to trial and have all this nastiness come out, apparently. It was the largest settlement for defamation in U.S. history. And you're probably thinking, what's up with these text messages, as I was. And if you read from Wiki, this is why I the judge of Tucker's character is why I'm reading this to you guys. If you read Wikipedia, it says, internal texts and other products of discovery against Fox reveal that Tucker Carlson privately doubted the false claims that the 2020 election was stolen and mocked Trump advisors, including Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell. Less than 3 weeks after the 2020 presidential election, Carlson also publicly casted doubt on Powell's claims, pointing out on his show that she never provided his producers or Trump campaign officials with any evidence to support her allegations against Dominion. Tucker Carlson texted to Laura Ingraham, Sidney Powell is lying, by the way. I caught her. It's insane. And our viewers are good people, and they believe it. Carlson texted Sean Hannity, saying Fox News White House correspondent Jacques Henrique should be fired for tweeting a fact check of false claims Trump made about Dominion. He wrote, please get her fired. Seriously, what the F? I'm actually shocked. It needs to be stopped immediately, like tonight. It's measurably hurting the company. The stock price is down. Not a joke. So, is Tucker a good guy or a bad guy? You could convince me either way, based upon that series of texts and such, right? He's obviously not entirely good or entirely bad. He was doing his job as he was told to do so, but apparently behind the scenes, he knew that this was wrong and he shouldn't have been lying, yet continued to do so on some level, but then he was also trying to expose the truth. But anyways, either way, after all this, in April of 23, Tucker agreed to depart the network. So it's not really clear as to what happened there, why he departed the network. Did he get fired? Did he quit? There's a bunch of allegations. It's fuzzy. But I mean, I got to respect the guy for, he was trying to do the right thing, you know, behind the scenes. And, you know, I think that actually speaks volumes. Even if he was going on the news and pushing the lie that Fox told him to push, I get it on some level, like that's his job. And he was probably like, well, I don't know, man, I'm trying my best behind the scenes. I don't know. It's a tough call, right? It's like, do you roast the guy for continuing to do the lie, even though he knew it was wrong? Or was there enough questionability about it that he thought, well, I'll say it and we'll see what happens, or I don't know. Interesting, though, for sure. But again, you know, I'm not saying Tucker is right, wrong, good, or evil. He's, you know, he's just a man. And everyone deserves a path to redemption is what I say. And if he ended up quitting because he didn't agree with the ethics going on there at Fox, then freaking good for him. All right. Okay. Now that I pissed off 50% of the audience with the election talk. Oh, boy. Tucker, he talks about crafts under the sea going 500 knots faster than bullets, explains that the reason they won't tell us the truth about all this is because it conveys weakness, which is something I've been saying for years. Based upon my experience in the white collar world and understanding how the office politics works, you can never say you don't know. I've been roasted a million times, and I learned that they would rather have me lie than tell them the truth and say, I don't have the answers for that. You have to lie. They only reward the liars. It's 100% the truth. And it's because it looks weak to not know. According to people that subscribe to this, I don't. I think, hey, if there's something you don't have the answer for, I appreciate that you're not going to lie to me and try to buffalo me. But that's not the way the white collar world works. It's full of liars. All the people that make it to the top, they're crooked. Not all of them. Now, obviously not all of them, but it's just the way the system works. And it's messed up. So I'm not shocked that, because Tucker was saying, look, the U.S. military can't come out and say, hey, we don't know what these things are. We don't know how to protect you from them, because all of our tax money goes to that machine. You know what I mean? So I agree that that's exactly what's going on. And I've been saying that for years. And the big question, he says, is what is our U.S. government's relationship with the UAPs? And that is the million-dollar question. If you go back to the claims made about President Eisenhower, it's supposedly he met with the aliens, right? That's the theory. And it sounds incredulous. But the more time goes by, the more I think that might have actually happened. So, and then Tucker concludes, he says, look, if these aliens and UAP are causing sickness, injuries, and deaths, we really need to think about this, because clearly that's not a good thing. And then they go on, and for another 20, 30 minutes, they talk about, I'm not going to play the clip, but they talk about Gary Nolan investigating the injuries. He refers to the Trinity bomb as an inflection point. Yes. He talks about how before it, we culturally looked at the world through this spiritual lens. So UFOs back then were kind of a more spiritual element. And now post-bomb, we think more scientifically, like, oh, they must be from another planet or whatever. Which I thought was actually a pretty good take. And Joe Rogan brings up Diana Pasalka, you know, friend of the show here. She's been on here twice. And then Joe Rogan interviewed her, right? And he talks about how Diana Pasalka was hanging out with the UFO Secrets, the Invisible College, the Secret Society, right? And they refer to the UFO technology or materials left behind as donations, meaning the big questions are, who is sending us these things and where are they coming from? Is it extraterrestrial or extra dimensional? And Joe Rogan talks about how we have drones and rovers on other planets. So it could just be it's a further evolved entity with technology way more sophisticated. Maybe it can fold up space, appear, disappear, because that's what these UAPs seem to be doing. Tucker implies that we don't really... He's toying with the idea that the nuclear technology, fission and all that stuff, came from aliens. I think that's what he's trying to say here, because he implies that we don't have a Isaac Newton gravity is real apple moment for nuclear fission. Now, I dug into this a little bit. If you're watching the video version of my show, you can see my big old physics book. It's my college physics book, and I thought, well, let me dig into that. And I couldn't find anything too great. The story goes that Isaac Newton was, which, by the way, if you're on the support, you're probably saying, where do I get the video version? Well, if you are on the supporter feeds, I made the tier 2, $10 a month, and the perk for that is you get the video version through a private link. I upload them to Rumble, unlisted ad-free private links. And Sometimes it's just me talking to you in the camera. Sometimes you get video clips, as you will today. And I upload the videos to YouTube and Rockfin, but you don't get those till like a month later because, you know, those things don't pay the bills at all. In fact, I think about bailing on Rockfin. It's I thought going free feed was going to be the smart route, but it's totally not. The future looks bleak for me on Rockfin. I'm not well received there, apparently. Anyway, so Isaac Newton, he was 23, the year 1665, and it's the bubonic plague. The school was closed. They actually had government-mandated quarantines back then, by the way. And he observed, that's not a statement of pro or con. Okay, calm down, everyone. I know everyone gets real upset. I guess someone was fighting with me on Twitter about this the other day. They're like, you're pro-jab. And I'm like, when did I ever say that? I presented all the pros and cons of that theory. And I'm like, your choice. I don't care whether you do it or you don't do it. You know what I mean? And, you know, I was one of the people forced to do it. And my convictions weren't strong enough to quit my job and lose all my benefits. So, but then once they stopped, you know, ironically, like when Biden got in, like it lasted maybe a year and then they all were like, oh, okay, well, this isn't working out. And they stopped mandating it. So I was like, good. So I don't have to take it anymore. But again, like it's, you're rolling the dice one way or the other. It depends on your personal situation, which is why, and that's what I said on Twitter. I said, no person or government should be telling and directing and mandating another person to take certain health decisions with their body. Period. End of story. Like, for every study you point to me telling me one thing is healthy, I got one that will tell you it's not. This is a personal decision. Period. And so I've never been pro. In fact, by definition, I'm very anti because I hold that stance. Some people get really, you know, I don't know. People get really upset with me all the time. It's hard. It's hard juggling this. It's hard presenting information. Anyway, I'll shut up. So anyways, Isaac Newton, he's chilling, and he sees an apple fall from a tree, and it falls straight down. It never hit him in the head. That's some Disney cartoon crap. And he started thinking about it, and he says, why is the apple fall straight down and not sideways at all or whatever? And he thinks there must be a force pulling that apple straight towards the earth. And then he starts thinking, because he's thinking about Kepler's laws of motion, and he says, I wonder if that's the same force keeping the moon tethered to the earth as a natural satellite. So he mathematically derives the theory of gravity, which later becomes the universal law of gravity, because it exists in all places in the universe. And the idea is that all things with a mass have an attraction and exert a force upon each other. That's right. That means even the apple was technically pulling the earth towards it. Now, it was such a minute and tiny little force that the earth doesn't move. But yeah, the moon pulls on the earth in a little bit, but the earth is such a more massive, you know, they pull towards the center of each other. There's a formula in here. Let me pull out the formula. It's the force equals the force of gravity, which is a number, times the mass of the first object times the mass of the second object, all that divided by the distance between the objects squared, right? So you got the gravitational constant, which is a very small number. So the reality is that the size, the mass of the planetary bodies involved or whatever is the bigger force, is the clearly the deciding factor, okay? Now, all right, so what's interesting here, why I'm talking about all this nerd stuff, is that this claim that Tucker Carlson has is that there wasn't this apple moment for nuclear fission, which there wasn't actually a defining real discovery moment for gravity either, technically. You know, Newton still had to derive the formula, but I kind of get what Tucker's saying. And I thought, well, I don't know a lot about nuclear fission. So I look it up, and there actually is a sort of apple moment. If you find the government has a Manhattan Project website, I'm going to read you from it. It was December 1938 when the radiochemist Otto Hahn and Fritz Strassmann were bombarding elements with neutrons in their Berlin laboratory, and they made their unexpected discovery. That's the Apple moment. They found that while the nuclei of most elements changed somewhat during neutron bombardment, uranium nuclei changed greatly and broke into two roughly equal pieces. They split and became not the new transuranic elements that some thought Enrico Fermi had discovered, but radioactive barium isotopes and other fragments of the uranium itself. The substances Fermi had created in his experiments, that is, did more than resemble lighter elements. They were lighter elements. Because nuclear fission is to break apart atoms. Nuclear fusion brings them together, okay? Now, I don't fully understand what all that's saying. I'll be honest with you. But I do know Enrico Fermi plays a massive role in aliens and UFOs. That's right. We talked about him during the David Grusch episodes last year because David Grusch brought up how the first big, he said this, I think, in the court under oath, and he was talking about how the first big government-investigated UFO case wasn't Roswell in 1947. It was 1933 with Mussolini in Italy because there was a crash of a UFO near Milan or Magenta, depending on where you read. And then, I don't remember where I read this, to be honest. I don't remember if Grusch said it or if it was in my book by Jacques Vallée and Paolo Harris called Trinity about the UFO crash at the Trinity bombing, which is before Roswell also. But somewhere in my research, I found that Enrico Fermi, he was actually using that technology. It's theorized that he was using technology found at that 1933 crash to study nuclear fission. And that's how it actually all happened. That's one theory out there. The program in Italy was called the RS-33 cabinet. 33 is a very curious number, which is also in Fallout. I've started watching Fallout. Very good. I'm on episode 3 right now. Don't spoil anything for me. I don't know the story. But they're from Vault 33 underground in Fallout. Starring Kyle MacLachlan, Dale Cooper. Ironically, Enrico Fermi would later be the one to coin the Fermi paradox. And he was like, look, if there's so many aliens out there, then where the heck are they? As a sort of debunk saying there are no aliens, ironically. Now, that's about all I got. A couple last points I want to bring up. I was listening to the Tucker podcast before I got the clips, and I swore Tucker said he doesn't do email at all or doesn't have the internet. Which is very weird. It's very odd for a journalist not to have internet. But maybe I misheard that. Don't quote me on that. Because I didn't hear that on the clip when I grabbed it. And I thought maybe I came up with that in my head. But I listened to the Apple podcast version. I swore he said he didn't have internet. Also, I postulated the odd connection of Kona Blue with the Maui wildfires. Remember the Maui fires? There was all these conspiracies. And one of them was that people were painting their roofs blue because the lasers wouldn't affect blue things. And there were these blue umbrellas that were unaffected by this massive fire, which kind of a kooky theory, right? But now it makes me wonder because it's called Kona Blue. Kona is a Hawaiian term, you know, like Kona coffee. I think there's a town, Kona, right? And blue, obviously, is blue. And you recall that the police captain in Maui during the wildfires was actually the police captain from Las Vegas during that mass shooting concert in 2017, tying us back into the Las Vegas thing, which, I don't know, is it connected to this demonic alien sighting by Angel Kenmore? I don't know. It's just all kind of weird how those things fit together. And also USOs is, that was one of my, you know, my red pill daddy, Bill Cooper, talked about this in Behold a Pale Horse. That was one of the things he witnessed, and it changed his worldview. He seen it and thought, was I supposed to see that? Did they rig this for me to see it so I could spread disinformation? He didn't know. He just never knew. But that's why I like the guy, because he always questioned everything. He just was like, I'm not just going along with everything. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to think twice. So in conclusion, let's wrap up Las Vegas here. Let's wrap up Tucker Carlson. Jury's out for me. If I trust him to be a source to talk about UFO stuff or not. I like that he's gone solo. I don't like his judgment that he only recently started believing some of these things. That tells me he's a baby in that arena. I don't know. But I'm fine either way. I don't hate the guy by any means. So I'm curious to see what he says next, because he's obviously plugged in and people are feeding him information. And the question is it misinformation or is it accurate? Now going to Las Vegas, Angel Kenmore. I do believe this guy. I absolutely do. Now, if you wanted me to play Mr. Skeptic on this guy in Las Vegas, which I'm not, I actually believe him. But if you wanted me to find a point to say, well, I think he's lying, that point would be the Christian angle. All right. Maybe he's one of these sort of heavy duty Christians who believes it through and through. You know, I'm more skeptical. I question it often. I know I shouldn't, but I don't know what to tell you. Like, that's my stance on it. I do believe it ultimately, and I've had a lot of great spiritual experiences in the Orthodox Church. So I do believe it personally, but it's not a conviction strong enough to be like, everyone needs to believe this. Everyone needs to do this. Because I get how people think, I don't know. That was a long time ago, and who knows what they were trying to do. But maybe he's one of the overzealous Christians who's willing to lie to try to get other people interested in becoming Christian. And, you know, the priest did convince him that these things were demonic, so maybe they planted that seed. But again, that's me forcing a skeptic viewpoint. I don't actually subscribe to any of that. I actually believe him. I believe all the things Angel Kenmore said. I think he's terrified. He's got PTSD, and it was demonic. And he's not cashing this in. He's not even trying to gain followers, which is pretty crazy, especially from a young teenage guy. You know, my generation, it's half of us are barely even on social media. But a 17-year-old guy, like, yeah, that dude probably was on social media. Now, recall that the body camera also caught something falling from the sky, and recall that there were reports of men in black in Las Vegas right after this happened. And we talked about this on the David Grush episode in 2023. I'll link it in the show notes. I played a bunch of clips, like the one where David Grush says that it's a logical fallacy to think that because these things are advanced, that they're also kind, right? So you got some people flowing this thing out there like, hey, maybe we should be careful a little bit. And then my final thoughts on the demonic aliens, because the guy says Angel Kenmore said he was paralyzed and terrified, and he closed his eyes and started praying. And that's a common theme, which you can read in my first UFO book, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 1. I cite many researchers who talk about how using the name of Christ actually works to shut down abductions and terrifying moments for people that go through that experience. We talk about the Collins Elite in that book, where they always thought about this thing in a spiritual manner, right? The Pentagon, through this group called the Collins Elite. Mike Elizondo was warning people about close encounters. He was telling it, and I wrote this in the book too. He was talking about the service-connected disabilities for people making contact, being demonically possessed, and all kinds of stuff. And there's a long history of people pushing for this final battle between Lucifer and Christ. People like Aleister Crowley, Kenneth Anger, believed that there was a battle on the astral plane between the forces of evil and good. And science is trying to push us into that astral realm, into the interdimensional realm. Okay, we call that the digital matrix. Again, I talk about it in the books. With occultists like Helena Blavatsky, who subscribed to the idea that Satan is the highest divine spirit of occult wisdom. Anyway, this is where I'm concerned, because I'm worried that on the one hand, floating the idea that these things are spiritual and there is a Christ versus Satan angle is actually good. I actually believe that. I really do. The other concern I have, ironically, is I don't agree with a lot of Christians in America, right? A lot of non-denominational Protestants or whatever. Like, we're all on the same team, ultimately, in the end, right? If you want to go team Christian. But they have a different perspective on it that's different from the Orthodox. And I'm worried that they're going to use it for what they call franchise churches, right? These people that are just in it for the money and putting on big spectacles and mega churches, and because there's a lot of money in it, right? This is tax-free money. They don't pay taxes on the tithing. They don't pay taxes on the investment, which is wild. They don't pay capital gains or nothing. So they're, of course, it's going to draw people. I've talked about this in the past. There's, I forget the number. I think it's like there's roughly in America, there's roughly 17,000 Starbuckses, which is a lot, right? It seems like there's a Starbucks everywhere. They're in the grocery store. They're on the corner. I mean, I could walk a mile and get to three different Starbucks from my house. So 17,000, that's a lot. Compare that to how many churches. There's 300,000 churches in America. Surely some of them are in it for the wrong reasons. So again, and that's where I fall outside the bounds of what people want to hear. I'm a Christian, but I also have a problem with Christianity at times, right? So that's the thing I'm concerned about. Are they going to hijack the truth about the spiritual battle going on? And then don't ask me what they're going to do with it. I don't know. They're going to do the thing they do, is try to get control over people and fear mongering and all kinds of weird stuff. That's not what I'm concerned about now. And finally, recall, I had a realization. The Las Vegas event, the Las Vegas, that's coming up next. The Las Vegas alien sighting that Angel Kenmore went through, that he clearly says, I think this is demonic. I have all this crazy spiritual activity happening at my house now. That actually hurt. It actually happened on May 1st. I don't know if I mentioned this in the past or if I ever realized it, but that's Valpurgis night. That's one of the satanic holidays, right? Taylor Swift released her album on April 19th. That's the beginning of the lead up holiday, all these blood sacrifice nights leading up to May 1st, which, you know, depending on when you listen to this episode, is right around now. It's not a good day. It's the day that I think, didn't Hitler supposedly commit suicide on that day? All kinds of stuff. So I'm going to guess that the Church of Satan and people who follow this sort of pagan doctrine were probably doing all these rituals to summon entities all over the world. Call me crazy, but I think that that's very possible that they were doing that. And I mean, then we got this crazy demonic entity that came through. Just another idea to float out there. All right. And speaking of Las Vegas, did you get your ticket to my show? Me, Jay Dyer, Jamie Hanshaw, and Jamie Kennedy are doing a great 6-hour presentation, event, a meet and greet in Las Vegas, June 22nd. Be there, be square. I'll put the link in the show notes, as you know I will. I try to plaster that link everywhere. I need you to get your ticket. If you ever wanted to see me do a presentation, this is your one and probably only shot. I don't know that I'll do it again. I'm already full of anxiety about it, and I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't know. I'm a nervous wreck. I'm full of anxiety. I like being in my home with my little puppies and my wife, and I don't want to leave. Unless I'm going to CrossFit, I don't want to leave. So this is your shot. If you wanted to go to Las Vegas, go Las Vegas Raiders. June 22nd, I'm going to be there. And what the way the night looks, if you haven't heard my spiel on it yet, Jay's going to do some great impersonations. At least this is how I think we're going. I don't know. I got to talk to Jay. He's doing a couple minutes of impersonations to, you know, probably warm the crowd up. Then I'm going to go up there and I'm going to tell you all about Eyes Wide Shut and a great Kubrick analysis. Then Jay Dyer, Jamie Hanshaw do their separate presentations. And then Jamie Kennedy wraps it up with a stand-up bit. And it's going to be a great time. And we're going to do a meet and greet. And I think that I can do this. Don't quote me on this, but after my set is done, I'm going to chill. I'm relaxing. And you can come talk to me. I'm going to sell you some books. I'm going to take you down Grifter Alley. And I'm going to put my arm around you. Let's go down Grifter Alley, my friend. I'm going to sell you books, shirts, all kinds of stuff. But more importantly, in fact, you don't have to buy anything. I'm absolutely joking. So anyway, get your ticket. If you want to see me in Las Vegas, June 22nd, with a bunch of other goodies thrown in there, this is your shot. Okay? Link in the show notes. Till next time, stay positive.